and welcome to Dice and a Slice, the only D&D 5e podcast powered by Baked Goods. My name is Joshua Gould. I am your dungeon master, tree botherer, and pet sitter for nameless monstrosities. Walking is extra, the sitting is free. I'm joined tonight by a combat slice experience. Indeed, I have two minced pies. 'Tis the season and all that. In fact, you can buy them from August and pretty much all year round. One is a Sainsbury's generic, the other is a Sainsbury's made in store, but I'm here to give you the definitive answer as to which one to get. It's the made in store ones. Obviously.
I love you said divinative, as if there was like a divine element
to
your answer.
I was
going to
say divinative. Do you mean definitive?
The mincemeat is better in the...
Josh is saying that he's a god, okay? And we have to respect that.
I have loved the chaos of the start of this episode already. It's great.
Tell us about the mincemeat, Josh. We're sorry for interrupting
you.
Yeah,
go on.
The mincemeat is better. It's sweeter. It's got less peel, and I'm just kind of peel averse. The pastry is butterier, and it just feels like less machine factory made. No, instead it's made by a 16-year-old on minimum wage.
What? Why is it called mincemeat?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I'm sure there's a history in it. I'm sure that Josh knows the history. But I thought for years that mince pies were full of mincemeat, as in like beef mince. So I avoided them at all costs.
Well, here we go. Time for a brand new segment. Dice in a Slice, Inside the Pie.
Was that Law and Order SVU?
Yeah. I think it was, yeah. The short version to a very long story is that way back when we were getting all of our Christmas stuff over from Germany, we started putting spices in stuff. Spice was a symbol of wealth, as was fruit. Eventually, we stopped putting meat in with the spices, sugars, and fruit, and just had spiced sugars and fruits. There's a remnant of that still, and most mincemeat recipes include suet, which is an animal fat.
So it used to have meat in it.
I've got to be entirely honest.
You don't care? Is that what the idea is?
Well, no, it's, again, I'm a traitor to the cause. I apologise. I don't like mince pies.
Oh, I don't either.
Oh,
I'm
so
glad. I'm on your team, bud. They're awful.
It's not even the boiled fruit. It's that it looks like it's made of Branston pickle.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And it's weird because I like Branston pickle, but I don't like it hot and with cream.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
To wash down my hot Branston pickle with cream, I've got a cup of tea because I've eaten two mince pies and I feel sick.
But, well, hi, my name's Jazz, and I have decided to deviate slightly from the festive treats because I instead have gotten myself this, it's like a takeaway cup that's full of all the elements of a rocky road. And that just kind of had that whimsical, oh, this is really expensive for the novelty kind of vibe.
Hang on, so it's just a cup of the ingredients that would make a rocky road, but it's not a rocky road.
Basically, it's like got chocolate that's got the Rice Krispie-esque bits in it, and then it's got some chocolate jazzies, marshmallows, all that sort of thing, all inside this cup. And it's quite whimsical, it's quite fun, and I have a headache.
I quite like that.
A deconstructed rocky road cup.
That sounds intense.
Well, hola y feliz Navidad.
Hey.
From Tom.
Muy bien.
I have a wonderful, wonderful slice of my grandma's recipe of coffee and walnut cake in front of
me. Your
and it is quite honestly my favourite thing. Back home for the holidays with the family, so I thought, you know. And I actually made it.
Look at you go.
It's got a gorgeous coffee butter icing, both in the middle and on top, and it's adorned with a crown of walnuts. And goodness gracious, it tastes like home.
Crown of walnuts. Who are you, Mary Berry?
Look at me.
That sounds amazing.
Very swanky.
That sounds amazing. I'm not a coffee person, but a good coffee cake I do enjoy. Mm. But it has to be a good coffee cake. I am particularly fussy, but I'd be keen to try it.
Coffee cake was how I got into coffee.
It's a gateway cake.
Yeah, it's a gateway cake, and now I'm hooked.
Well, that leaves me. Hi, I'm Alicia. I play Tala, and today my festive slice is a slice of Lebkuchen, which apparently Josh and I were discussing this. I thought it was Liebkuchen. Turns out I just wasn't reading the word correctly. So I thought it was called a love cake because Liebe means love and Kuchen is cake. Turns out Lebkuchen is German for gingerbread. because it's basically just like a gingerbread cake.
I'm so glad, because I, for some reason, I thought Leber was liver.
Ooh.
And that's a very
that's
different
much
cake.
Less festive.
They're so good.
What I like about these is that I have a really big sweet tooth, so if I have a sweet treat in front of me, I can very easily just like plow through it because I like sweet things. But these I can only have like a couple and then I'm kind of like sated.
What's that feeling like?
I must say, I don't get the sugar highs. I'm just a gentle soul.
So, Tala, why don't you catch us up with what happened last time?
Well, last time was stressful. After all the crew were having some weird dreams, we knew that something was up and we were discussing ideas. And we also learned then that Skylar got stabbed by one of Scourge's crew and his wound has been growing and there's black tendrils coming out of it. And turns out that the curse afflicted by Scourge's crew is in fact contagious and Skylar is now becoming a were-rat. We had to table that temporarily so that Pad could get rid of my black spot and then just do a little paladin check over the crew so we could see if any of them were some evil entity that was bringing these weird dreams onto the boat. We managed to whittle it down and we got a few of them into Bodhi's room and we found out it was Emmett who was giving off this evil ping. Tiny was weirdly defensive and turns out that Emmett was an incubus who had been sent by Axul and had been feeding on all of us, mainly Tiny, and there was an intense fight, including the incubus trying to escape with Tiny, but failing because of Bodhi's magics, and we managed to kill it. And that's where we are.
Meanwhile, a dwarven figure, seemingly made of gas, enters a refinery through an air vent. They pause for a moment, become corporeal, and then quadruple in size, blending in with the other enormous forms around them, before they then begin to go about their nefarious duties. So the five of you, including Tiny and Pad, are stood inside Bodhi's room, having recently watched a demonic form warp and stretch and writhe before being reduced to a pile of question mark.
Oh, gods. Bagsy, not cleaning up.
It's your room.
Yeah.
Oh, now, if I knew those were the rules, I'd have, I mean, to be fair, I was going to say I'd have done it somewhere else, but I don't think we'd still have Tiny if it were anywhere else, would we? Yeah.
Tiny looks really bewildered.
Oh, Tala just like puts a hand on his face and is like, are you okay? Do you know what just happened at all?
Did I pass out? Why am I in Bodhi's room?
Oh.
What's the last thing you remember?
I went to sleep.
Oh,
oh wow.
It's been a while.
You don't remember waking up or talking to us this morning or anything?
No.
Right. Huh.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, don't be too alarmed. Turns out that everyone's been having some weird dreams and feeling kind of shitty when they woke up. And Emmett was some kind of demon incubus-y thing.
Turned out he was a really good actor.
Mm. And I think you were his favorite choice.
Oh, he's like nodding slowly.
Mm. He tried to hit us with a frying pan, but it's all good.
I tried to hit you with and like he looks down at his hand, which has got the frying pan in it. He's like, I am so sorry.
It's okay, you weren't yourself.
It's okay, to be fair, you're not much of a heavy hitter, so just rubbing my jaw.
Yeah, there's Bodhi who needs like reconstructive surgery on his face. And oh yeah, you must have fallen over or something there. Oh,
indeed.
I don't really know how to process any of this.
That's okay. I feel like you should probably rest. You seem to take the brunt of it.
Yeah, I feel like shit.
Uh huh.
Did someone hit me?
I mean, maybe just a little, just very, very quick retaliation. I think you might have fallen over as well, in fact.
Like, Skylar just looks sideways at Bodhi and just shakes his head.
Do we just straight up say to the crew, hey, turns out Emmett was a demon?
Yeah, I think so. Like, honestly, I think that's the best way to go.
That's fine. We don't necessarily have evidence, but we've got some witnesses.
I mean, we've got this pile.
We've got Emmett.
The pile formerly known as Emmett.
In all seriousness though, like, none of us can do that to a person. That pile right there is a very strange thing.
Oh, okay, that's good to hear.
I mean, it strengthens our case to say, look, you know, we didn't just kill him and lob him off the boat. He's here still, kind of.
He's still an active member of the team.
Yeah, I'd say truth sounds good. I like this. I'd say we do need to keep just an ear on the crew to make sure there isn't gossip or talk or rumors about killing off the lowest crew member. I just want to, if we can all just keep an ear in our departments,
of course,
make sure there's not some mutiny brewing in defense of Emmett.
Of course.
Yeah.
God, that was a lot.
That's one way to put it.
Oh my God, thank God your room works. Jesus.
Oh, that reminds me actually. Ooh. I need to keep the enchantment. And I start casting it again. Just for all of our knowledge, if I cast it every day for a year on this room, it becomes permanent. That's my intention.
That's very fun. Cool.
But otherwise, it's just like for 24 hours.
Yeah,
that's an investment on the boat.
Yeah,
it's a heavy old investment.
Yeah, we got to keep this boat.
Pad, thank you so much for your help. I'm sorry it got kind of crazy.
Absolutely fine. I never liked the guy anyway.
Problem is I did, you know.
And that's between you and your god.
Well, I mean, that's one way to put it, I guess.
Pad just goes to stride out of the room.
Pad, I have something for you.
Pad tentatively turns around expecting you to slap him.
Oh, I know it's a super weird time, but I got you this when we were back on the island and I forgot to give it to you. And she hands him the green glass monocle that she got at the little shop that was only a front.
Oh, how sweet. That's lovely. Thank you, Tala. Is it prescription or?
No idea. Don't know if it's magical. Don't know if it's any good. I just thought it was cool and thought you might like it.
Pad puts up and puts it in his eye, and he kind of crunches his eye around it, as you do with a monocle.
Yeah.
And he does look a bit weird. You know when a cat's got kind of a scrunchy face?
Yeah. Oh, they've been sleeping funny.
Because like they're sleeping up against something. Yeah. He's kind of got that going on. He says, I feel radiant. Thank you, Tala. I shall treasure this. And he like clips it to his waistcoat.
Aww.
That's very cute.
Thanks for that. I'm going to go and grab the old steering wheel.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
Right. The real question now is, do we pop Emmett in a bucket and take him up, or do we get people to come down and see him?
I don't know if there's any way that this is going to go well.
Look, I think we will have to talk seriously about crew morale after this.
Oh, yeah.
I would prefer to be as transparent about this as possible.
Yeah, and the hope is that they'll notice that, you know, when they go to sleep and wake up, that they aren't having horrendous dreams and they wake up feeling shitty.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers bloody well crossed.
Otherwise, we're going to have to get some kind of therapist on here, because it's really suggesting other things about our team.
Speaking of Skylar, that came out wrong.
Wow.
that was a bit
speaking that was of needing a therapist.
Yeah, that was a bit of shade, wasn't it? I do apologize.
Okay, yeah, let's go for this. Let's open that wound.
No, look, I'm just saying, you know, you said you liked him. You've got nothing to you may not even feel bad about that fact, and that's absolutely fine as well. It was his job to be liked, and that goes for all of us, actually. You know, it was his job to blend in, to be liked, and to get behind our defenses, and he certainly did that. We just might need to be a bit more vigilant moving forward.
Yeah, at least we know Pad can check for this stuff. And
exactly.
And we found him before, you know, he did any real damage.
Yeah.
What counts as real damage in this instance?
Well, no one died.
That's fair.
Would it be worth us talking to our seconds about this before we went any further?
Yeah, probably would be good.
Yeah, we can maybe just get them in here with us. And
I mean, apart from anything else, he was part of your group, wasn't he, Tala?
Yeah.
So Tala's second is Nicola Rosina. Skylar's second is Tardan Great Cobble.
Oh, yeah.
And Bodhi's is Beavis Travis.
Beavis!
with your permission, I'd like to go and take a nap.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, you go do that.
He like gives a big thumbs up and then just like limps towards the door.
Tala like squeezes his hand as he leaves. She's kind of just been holding on to him.
It seems as though he's had quite a lot of his vitality drained.
As he leaves,
because
the med bay is just like right outside Bodhi's room, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, I assume, is Shimmer in there?
Yeah, probably.
Tala would just like kind of ask Shimmer and be like, hey, we've had an issue on the ship. You'll find out later. Can you just check over on Tiny for me?
Shimmer quirks their head to one side and like just start scampering through, like just down the corridor. Yeah. Oh, hey, shit. Ah! And there's like a thump noise as like Shimmer jumps on Tiny.
Oh, nice. I love that for them.
If you went to look, you'd see Shimmer like pinning Tiny down and staring directly into Tiny's eyes.
Of course they are.
The ultimate chaos. I love it.
Yeah.
It's the only way to do a medicine check is to pin someone down and stare into their eyes.
Oh dear. Right, okay. Shall we all go grab the seconds, or is someone happy to if I stick here just in case Emmett becomes Emmett again?
Yeah.
Would someone mind grabbing Beavis as well on the way?
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You do that. And yeah, they come with you willingly. They're a little bit confused. They definitely ask you like just what's going on, but come with you willingly regardless. Because they're fools and they're being led straight into a trap. Mm-hmm. Bodhi.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bodhi.
While you wait for the two of them to return with the seconds, you just sort of look at the pile of Emmett.
Yeah.
And, like, there are, like, clear distinctions between bits that are meat.
Horrendous.
And bits that are clothes or items. Just so you're aware, it's not just, like, one emulsified lump.
Excellent. Just out of interest, yeah. I cast Detect Magic on the room when we were sort of currently in it.
Yes.
Remind me, was there anything inherently magical on Emmett's person?
Not like beaming out, this is a magical item kind of thing, no. Yeah.
Good. That's all I wanted to know.
You guys return with the seconds who sort of come and they look a bit confused. And Nicola's like, So what is everything all right? Do we need to, is this the intervention for Bodhi that we're...
Oh, no,
I'd love to hear about that, to be fair. What is that?
Never mind, Bodhi.
Right.
Actually, Captain, I have been meaning to talk to you about that.
Darla looks so confused.
Nicholas Quinn's like, oh, I... Do you not know I... Oh.
In the background, Skylar's just, like, miming, like...
Like, she gestures at, like, the empty bottles in Bodhi's... in Bodhi's room.
Oh! No, we've all shared those. That's not just Bodhi on his own. That's not... No.
And Beaver says, you see, I did tell you. He's absolutely fine. Like, slaps a hand on your shoulder. You feel your cheek. And I was like...
Bodhi's just been kind of staring with a slightly cocked head this entire time.
So there, I think definitely shut the door to Bodhi's room. And it's like, So you guys are aware that everyone has been feeling unwell today and some people had very strange and bad dreams that seem to have affected them and everyone's been a bit low.
Quofer's been completely out of it, says Tartan.
Yeah, so we concerned us. We wanted to make sure everyone was okay. And in, just doing a bit of investigating, turns out that Emmett was not who or what he said he was and was in fact some kind of demonic entity that had been feeding off of the crew.
Right. And Nicola, like, looks down at the wobbly pile.
Ta-da!
I know this is a shock and very sudden, but, we wanted to deal with it as quickly as we became aware of it. And yes, that is Emmett.
Was.
Shouldn't really call him that because I'm not sure that that was its name.
They all seem to be taking this rather well. Not like suspiciously well, but like they're in a world where these kind of things do happen.
And Emmett had a weird vibe.
And Beavis says, I did think he was particularly charismatic for a failing actor. But I suppose really, we were the truest fools of all. Or something like that. I don't know.
God, that was poetic.
It was.
I guess what we're trying to say is, obviously, we have been doing bits and pieces around the scenes. We haven't probably been on the boat for quite as long as the three of you. How is morale currently? And how do you think this will affect that? Just out of interest.
Nicola sort of stands up a bit and says, to be frank, everyone's feeling so rotten today, I would say morale isn't great. To find out that there's been looks down at the pile, looks back up, a fiend on board probably isn't going to do much, but knowing that you all took care of it rather swiftly, no fatalities.
Apart from the obvious,
I would say, other than the general lethargy from the crew, I imagine no long-term harm. Probably might bolster people somewhat.
Okay.
I was going to say, scapegoat.
Exactly that.
Okay, that's good to hear. You know, we know that we don't necessarily all know each other very well, and we didn't want it to seem like a, you know, very out there situation, but I'm pleased that you guys are taking it so kind of well.
Tardan speaks up. So, do you want us to do all the relaying of the information ourselves, or what?
No, I think we could. We'll tell them. We'll just get everyone kind of together and tell them all as one.
Right on, right on.
We just wanted a bit of a litmus test. Yeah. Litmus, of course, being a famous alchemist.
Yeah. Ah, yes, yeah. I'm familiar of the work of Frederick Litmus.
Also means, you know, if you guys can then just keep an eye on your teams, and if there's any problems or someone is struggling or has an issue with anything, then just let us know so we can talk to them. Mm.
They all sort of murmur in agreement between the three of them. And Nicholas says, will there be anything else?
No, you guys will keep the long lunch going so people can kind of recuperate a bit.
Jolly good. Looking to keep moving? Open sail?
Yeah.
Weigh anchor and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as soon as people feel ready for it, yeah, we're good to go.
Righto. She turns to the other two and says, off we go then, chaps.
If you guys are happy to just get everyone on deck, we may as well just tell them now and get it done.
Yes, of course.
Perfect.
Of course.
I want to read an insight.
Yeah, Tara also just wanted to double check mm-hmm. that they're definitely okay.
Let's have an insight check from each of you for your respective second.
Wouldn't it be great to have all three of the seconds planning a mutiny themselves?
Yeah, like, I was going to say.
They're all incubi.
My first roll of the game was terrible.
I thought you were going to say it was a nat 20.
No, I rolled a 3 for a 9 total.
Mm. Okay. Nicola is one of the more difficult ones to read, owing yes. to just how proper she is.
Mm.
That said, she doesn't seem displeased. She just seems to be, like I say, they all seem to be taking this information just sort of at face value. Nicola seems to be very much doing that, and she'll just carry out the orders of her captain.
Beautiful.
Skylar, what was your insight check?
15.
15. So Tardan Great Cobble is fairly easygoing for someone who lives their life up in the rigging. They're all quite easygoing people, because
mm-hmm.
you can't worry about falling, because if all you're thinking about is falling, then you're going to hit the deck.
Yeah, exactly.
And as such, just seems relatively unflapped.
Okay.
Their eyes didn't keep going to the pile either, whereas Nicola and Beavis kept kind of looking at the pile with various emotions. Tardan was actively avoiding looking at the pile.
Okay.
But that was more of a queasiness thing than it was.
Sure.
Wasn't anything else. But Tardan seems to be fine on the level.
Yeah, fair enough.
And finally, Bodhi.
I rolled a 16, so 16.
16 for Beavis. Seems relieved to have found the cause of whatever the lethargy that was going on is.
Great.
There's a certain je ne sais quoi about him that suggests that he is just kind of quite keen to get past it.
Right.
What I will say from all of you, that there is a gentle edginess to them all in that there was a demon on the boat and that's weird.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, this is good information to have. Right, I guess I'll scoop Emmett up and we'll get ready to go and tell the crew.
Hey, I was kidding. I'm of course happy to help you clean.
And I think I've like emptied the bucket that I no longer need because I'm wearing my strange kind of jumpsuit contraption,
mm-hmm.
And I just start to kind of mage hand some of it in.
Sure.
I think that went fairly well.
Yeah.
You scoop Emmett into a bucket. It's just going to be a metal bucket, unless you'd rather have a wooden bucket.
No.
Where are you going to dispose of Emmett? Or are you going to put him in the freezer?
I mean, look, we can give him a sailor's burial. Plop him in the ocean.
I was going to say, throw him overboard.
We just want to make sure we don't attract any
sharks,
other creatures that might come for the remains. So we want to do it when, you know, we're speeding away, not while we're anchored up.
I'm just saying this, though. I'm not putting him in the freezer.
No.
I don't want to cross-contaminate with anything. That's not where we're at.
No.
Good.
That's
fair. Once he's in the bucket, I think, you know, I look at the others and sort of say, right, shall we face the music?
Yeah, let's go, let's do it.
And you guys step out of you step out of Bodhi's room onto the sort of corridor area of the ship. And as you do, the bucket in your hand, who's carrying it?
Good question.
I would imagine Bodhi only because
he's kind of taken the lead on how to get rid of the body, so I feel like he's taking ownership of it.
It also still feels to Tala somewhat magical in nature, so she feels like it's just safer if Bodhi.
Yeah.
I don't know why. She's just like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'm the one who's carrying it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. Bodhi, can you do a con save for me?
Crap. Sorry, Bodhi.
Interesting. No, no, not at all. Oh, no. Oh, Josh. That was a 6 plus 1, so a 7.
The handle of the bucket gets incredibly hot very quickly.
Oh.
Bodhi, you take 6 fire damage and drop the bucket.
Oh,
as you leave the room, this bucket sort of suddenly vibrates, rattling, getting really hot. It swells with heat. There's like a tiny sort of small explosion-y noise.
Oh,
but there's an element of, and Bodhi, you recognize, there's an element of like interplanar travel going on there. You look at the bucket and the meat is still there. It stopped demanding attention. Like, you guys kept looking at the meat. The meat sort of kept asking to be looked at.
Oh, the spirit of this thing has been sucked back.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to roll me a religion check, they may.
15 again.
15. Religion or arcana, but I think for most of you it'll be the same.
11.
I'll go arcana. I think that makes more sense. Yeah. And that's a 13 plus 5, so 18.
You know this thing tried to escape through some form of interplanar travel when you were fighting it.
Yeah.
Everything you know about these kinds of creatures tells you that they originate from a different sort of plane of existence. When things from different planes are killed, there is always like a remnant of their energy that returns back there.
Right.
Weirdly, that's why, and this is just a weird thing that I'll throw in, why a lot of the Nortiscan philosophers believe that all humanoids originated from a different plane.
Oh, interesting.
Is just an additional thing.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah, rubbing the sort of blistering burn on my hand, I go, balls. Well, I mean, I hope that was just the soul or whatever going back to from whence they came. But it feels a lot like some energy from whatever it was still there.
Oh, so it did try and escape, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. either something sentient has gone or something just energy-based has gone. But I suppose we'd better keep our wits about us.
Great. Love today. Such a good day.
Well, it's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
All right. So what are we doing now? Now that that's happened, does that change anything? Or?
I mean, the meat's still meat.
I love that sentence.
And what happened today still happened.
I think going ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Tell the crew, hope for the best. Keep going where we're going.
All right.
And you do. You get back on deck with your large bucket of meat. And I guess you go to the back of the boat and just...
Yeah, Tala just tells them what happens in like a similar way to that she told the seconds.
Cool.
Kind of matter of fact, but with an air of like that they were trying to look out for the crew and, you know, they did what they had to do to keep everyone safe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Tala, can you do a persuasion check at advantage, please?
Go on, Tala.
Go on, Tala.
And add 4 to it as well.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. So that's a 23.
23. Yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, of all the times we need a good roll, this is it.
As you tell the crew, and they all look kind of tired, you tell the crew this, and a few of them look a bit worried, but then others turn to them, and you think, and it certainly seems as though, those who are concerned are having their fears quickly abated by the others saying, well, look, they killed him and there's no injury to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So long as Bodhi keeps his face facing one way. From your, and I love to say inspiring speech,
aww,
but certainly from your appropriate delivery of the news, the crew seem to be in much better spirits than they were earlier today.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm excellent. So pleased. And I think she would also like, for their peace of mind, just let them know that like they've done checks on the crew and the boat and there doesn't seem to be any other like evil or any other issues kind of attached to anything or anyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to make them feel a bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they all do look just rather pleased that this isn't like malaria.
Yeah.
Or
the worst case of scurvy ever to
just,
have existed.
Yeah, horrendous scurvy or Lord knows what else.
Yeah.
Uber scurvy.
And I imagine we probably like just enjoy the long lunch, you know, probably just chatting to people to try and make sure that they're all good and then set sail whenever they're ready and keep heading to Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely do. Can I please have a D8 roll from somebody? It doesn't matter who.
D8.
I'll do it. It's a 1.
Oh no.
Not necessarily a bad thing. Your long lunch comes to an end and the crew start going about their jobs. Skylar, you are the navigator.
I am.
You have access to a cantrip called Druidcraft. Mm-hmm. One of the uses of Druidcraft is you can use it to predict the weather, which makes druids or people with access to that spell specifically very good navigators, because they know what the weather's going to do. Mm-hmm. At some point during the afternoon, it occurs to you just to check the weather forecast.
Yeah, so I do.
And unfortunately, it seems as though there is going to be a thunderstorm coming. It will slow down the boat's progress depending on the severity of the thunderstorm. You can see on the horizon from the south, you can see these heavy, thick clouds just like starting to roll towards you.
Is it thick with two C's?
It's dummy thick, yeah.
Ooh. All right, so I instantly give the order to batten down the hatches.
Very good. Communication on the ship isn't great.
Oopsie.
But Tardan turns to you, Skylar, and says, hey, absolutely no problem, Skip. We'll get that message sent through.
Why does he call me Skip?
Because he does.
I don't like that. That has not got the right level of authority to it. That's what you call a dog.
As he says that, and your expression visibly changes, he just got a natural 20 on his insight. He goes, I misspoke, man.
Y'all right.
Navigator, Skylar, look, we'll get that message out. Don't you worry about a little thing. And like, just kind of leans over, grabs a rope, and just like, whoosh, almost kind of too relaxedly, but still quite quickly, descend down to the deck, and you hear the batten down the hatches orders being sent out. Tala, when the boat's in motion, whereabouts are you standing?
I imagine like when we're just generally sailing, she's maybe at the front, kind of looking at where we're going. There's like the cannons are there.
Sure.
Probably moves around a fair bit, goes to chat to Pad. I think she just wants to be like present for the crew and tries to just like be around.
And yeah, so you hear this order being sent around. You watch people take their little batons, which are these little tiny clubs, and they start using belaying pins.
Ooh.
To put bits of tarpaulin down and stop hatches from opening up.
I had no idea that the batten down the hatches was literally use battens to put nails in.
Yeah.
To stop the hatch. I just never realised.
Batten down the hatches.
Look at all the learning we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have a huge PDF for nothing.
Can I? This is going to sound really weird. Is it possible to do a nature check? Basically, Tala wants to vibe check the storm.
Yeah, sure. Roll me a nature check.
I feel like I don't need to give any more explanation.
I remember episode three.
That's a 12.
Seems like a natural storm.
Okay.
Although you wouldn't know what to expect from an unnatural storm.
No, I think as much she doesn't know what an unnatural storm is. She knows what a normal one is like. So she's hoping as long as there's not weird cloud formations or some kind of weird smoke or fog or just anything that would give her the heebie-jeebies.
It seems like a natural but potentially quite heavy storm.
Yeah.
There's not loads of wind around, which tends to accompany a storm, but you expect the wind will come when the storm arrives.
Mm.
The hatches are battened, and Bodhi, eventually the message reaches its way down to you. What are you doing when the boat's normally in motion?
I think I was probably down below decks, just doing my job, really, making sure that all of the sort of equipment that we have was ready to use. If there were any repairs that needed doing, start on kind of casting mending on as much as possible.
You and your crew are doing their stuff?
Yeah, just getting to know some more of my crew on a personal level.
Cool.
And as the news comes, I'm probably with a few of them and just kind of look at them and go, all right, let's make sure that we get through. This is our first storm. Get through it in one piece. Fingers crossed, eh? I'm just going to go grab one of my books, just in case.
You're talking to one of your crew. Their name is Rhiannon Goff.
Oh, my corker.
They are the corker, yes. Rhiannon looks kind of like she's always got a bit of concern on her face. She's got kind of bob-length hair, curly, looks to be sort of in her probably mid-40s for a human, dresses quite sensibly for a ship. Mm. Her hand suggests that she's had a lifetime working with alchemical ingredients.
Cool.
If you've taken the time to speak to her, she'll have told you that one of the merits that she was hired on was the fact that she found ways to make caulking agents that were non-water soluble.
Ooh.
Which was quite a big deal.
That's big.
Yeah, when you're a caulker. And she says, I've taken a wee moment to look over everything
all the holes in the ship should be fine, fingers crossed.
All the holes!
I look back and give her a wink and say, see, that's why you're here. I'm glad to have you on board.
She tries to meet your enthusiasm, but is almost like hesitant to do so.
Ouch.
Why?
And then just like gives you like a hesitant but enthusiastic thumb up forwards towards you and turns and starts checking the boat, just double checking things.
Excellent. I pop back to my room, grab the secret tome.
Yes, your secret tome.
I pop it in one of my waterproof cases and just go up to the deck just to make sure that everything is okay.
Yeah, you get up onto the deck, and while there are people definitely like moving around and hustling, you can also see this storm that is inbound. Yeah, it just seems as though everyone's getting to it. Actually, as you were leaving the lower decks, you heard the news reach Neil Spooner, the rather harried looking human. He's sort of got these small glasses and brown shaggy hair that comes around. Like, he doesn't have time to brush his hair. He's too busy doing all of the accounting and admin and paperwork. Yeah,
he's
the clerk. You hear him like sigh, utter an oath to one of the gods, and just like start putting all of his scrolls in waxed tubes and closing books.
Oh, bless him. I feel you.
When the weather is bad, you just can't do admin.
Yeah.
If it's all paper based.
Yeah. Josh, if at any point Shimmer appears on deck, Tala will just check in with them and see and ask them how Tiny is.
Shimmer's been enjoying the bustle of activity.
Aww, yeah, so cute.
Kind of been a bit unhelpful with some people trying to like coil ropes and stuff, just chasing the end of the ropes.
You
get the distinct impression that Shimmer is getting a little bit bored with just being the medical officer and having very few people to heal, and is like maybe trying to cause some injuries to heal.
I love that.
That's their toxic trait.
Oh, you Shimmer. Little mischief maker.
Our very own Macaulay Culkin.
Yes. Ha! Oh, where the hell has she gone? Fine. Oh, hello. Welcome aboard. Are you all right? You seem familiar. Welcome back. This place, it's the middle bit. It's where I, Josh, speak to you, the listener, about all sorts of real-world goodness. And don't worry, there's nothing wrong here. Relax. I think you should help yourself to something. I think we've got a bottle around here somewhere. This middle bit is brought to you entirely by Fable Events, the newest innovation in UK TTRPG team building experiences, founded by myself and our wonderful editor/barbarian, Alicia. Bored of the usual team-building tropes and looking for a unique event for your team? So were we. So we founded Fable Events. We offer one-of-a-kind adventures that will not only bring your team closer, but provide an experience you'll never forget. At Fable Events, we use collaborative, multiplayer, social experiences to challenge your teams to explore new possibilities, solve puzzles, and use each other's strengths to come together and save the day. Follow us on the socials at Fable Events UK or pop along to fableevents.co.uk. Fable Events. We provide the story, you provide the heroes. And hey, while you're online, just check that you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dice and a Slice, DicenaSlice. And also, if you've not yet had a chance, please do leave us a little review on Spotify mobile app or on Apple Podcasts. It helps us reach more gorgeous people like yourself. Thanks so much for your patience on this episode. We've had a lot going on at Dice and a Slice HQ, and we really appreciate all of you who've been getting stuck in on our Discord or chatting with us on Twitter. Special, huge, enormous thanks to Benjamin and Rooney for their continued support over Ko-Fi, which means they're going to receive some of our brand new Ko-Fi supporter exclusive content. And of course, I have to thank my fiancé, Alicia, who is also our kick-ass editor. And now, back to the action. And is like maybe trying to cause some injuries to heal.
I love that.
That's their toxic trait.
Oh, you little mischief maker.
Our very own Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, Bodhi probably needed to spend a fair bit of time with Shimmer. Just be like, yeah, can you just reset my jaw? Thanks.
I think Bodhi is Shimmer's like worst customer because he could do certain bits himself. So it's like,
You're obnoxious.
Yeah. Bodhi's the patient that walks into the doctor's office and says, "So I've been googling it."
No, it's more like a builder cuts open their hand and seals it up with glue. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of thing. And they go to A&E like 2 days later and go, "Still hurts." And the people in A&E go, Why did you do this yourself?
Why didn't you come straight here?
I
fix everything. I'm a builder.
Yeah, the one thing I couldn't build was my relationship with my father.
So I check in with Shimmer and ask Shimmer how tiny he is.
Tala checks in with Shimmer, distracted for a moment by chasing a bit of rope, turns to Tala and just kind of nods their head.
Is Tiny okay?
Nods their head.
Okay, I have a gift for you.
They kind of jump backwards ever so slightly and their fingers do the the raccoon thing where the fingers all kind of tap together.
Oh, I love that so much.
And then there's some grabby hands.
Tala takes out the little wooden pot that she got from the shop that it's carved as pumpkin-esque, but it's just a little wooden bowl. She just hands it to Shimmer and she's like, I thought you might like it.
Yeah, Shimmer tilts their head one way, tilts it the other way, opens their beak slightly and just picks it up. And starts just hopping.
Okay. Stop it.
From what Tala knows of Shimmer, is that a good reaction from them?
Yeah. Shimmer's looking around and then looks at the main mast and just scurries up it, going straight to their crow's nest.
I love it.
It is mine now, and anyone who takes it from me shall die.
Yes, exactly.
They're going to use it to keep all the stuff that they steal from other people in.
Another box for their trinkets.
Exactly.
Another box for their trinkets. Oh, it's trinket time.
So cute.
I love them.
As Shimmer scurries up, you watch as Parrot flies out from underneath Shimmer's robes.
Oh, we haven't seen Parrot in ages.
Yeah, Parrot's just been hanging out.
Yeah.
This sort of beautiful scarlet macaw just sort of flies around the top of the ship, finally repeating Skylar's order. You hear Para just say, "Batten down the hatches. Ah! Batten down the hatches. Hatches."
Thank you, Parrot.
Amazing.
Ah! You're welcome.
As the storm rolls in and everyone braces themselves for impact, I am now going to have some rolls from you to reflect roles from the crew.
Oisky.
So, Skylar, can I please have what I'm going to call a positioning preparedness check? You decided this was the most important thing in your department. So you'll be rolling a D20.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be adding 8 to it. So D20 plus 8.
Nice.
No, it's a 16.
As the storm looms, you look around and see everything that is loose has been tied down.
Wunderbar.
The sails have been properly furled. Most people are below deck. Most of the stuff below deck has been tied in place as well.
Nice.
Bodhi.
Hello.
Can I please have you roll a unfortunately it's going to be a comms check. So that's going to be a D20 plus 3.
Oh, you beautiful dice. Not quite a nat 20, but it was a 19 plus 3, so it'll be 22.
22, fantastic.
Spectacular roll.
This makes me feel a lot better after my 7 on a con check.
As the storm looms, the three of you, as the chief officers, are able to efficiently communicate with your team when something goes wrong, or be heard over the noise is a big thing in storms.
We need thaumaturgy.
Well, yeah. The few members of the crew that remained on deck, including Pad, who's there to man the wheel. I imagine, Tala, you're going to stay on deck because you're just a thrill seeker.
She has this weird thing of the last time she was in a storm, it was a very exciting and almost freedom-ish feeling experience for her. But then when it finished, she was like, oh no, everyone else has been having a horrible time and is really traumatized.
Yes.
So I think she almost wants to stay on deck because A, she thinks she'd probably have the wrong energy amongst everyone else. And also she feels if anything's going to happen, she's not as scared and she can, like, be more useful up here.
Yeah.
Also, she's not going to leave some crew members up there on their own, because that seems like a... She doesn't know where Captain should be, but that seems shitty. Sure. So she's not going to do that.
So other ones up there are Briora Cherry Eyes. She's a halfling. She's kind of got red hair and these really bright eyes. She's very sprightly, very high energy. She's up there. Actually, she's from the rigging department, but she's down on deck. You've also got up there Maximilian Cokes, the watch officer, who's got kind of short brown hair. He's got an eye patch over the one eye. I think he's the only member of the crew with an eye patch.
For now.
For now, apparently. Maximilian will stay up there as well, as does Lisette Major. We've not talked about Lisette Major.
Lisette
has these gorgeous tattoos all over their arms. Has like a shark's tooth necklace. Ooh. They're down as the seaman, which is just sort of an expert on sea specifically, like a direct advisor in that sense. Also there is Beavis.
Excellent.
Aww. Beavis, who we know and love with his kind of shaggy red mutton chop beard. He's always got a pipe that seems to be perpetually lit and a little kind of cloth cap tied in a thing. Like he just looks real piratey. He's got a strong nose with it's obviously been broken a few times, and there's a cut across it too.
Spectacular vibes.
And actually Rihanna, the previously mentioned Rihanna, is going to be on deck as well, looking quite concerned. She seems to be playing with some sort of necklace or charm or something.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Oh, interesting. I think Bodhi is also up there, just on the lookout, just in case we get struck by lightning or something like that, so that I can very, very quickly just sort of pop up and assess it.
To be fair, Bodhi, you're up there. You don't need to be wearing your horrible wetsuit at the moment.
Exactly.
Because you can just, like, absorb the rain through your skin.
There is also that reason. A singular time where I can just kind of go, oh, excellent.
At the front of the boat. I'm on top of the world.
I no longer have trench body.
Skylar, are you going to be out and about during the storm, or are you going to be below deck?
I think actually he is going to be out and about during the storm. I think he's going to be up in the rigging. He trusts his dexterity, and he thinks that out of a lot of crew members, he's going to stand the best chance of being able to get places quick should anything happen to the sails. And also, plus, I love the image of him hanging in the rigging in the rain. I think he's looking pretty good in that moment. So I want to enable my fans.
Tala, finally, can I have a ship condition roll from you? It is going to be a D20. It is going to be +8.
Whoa, +8.
Yes.
A 19.
19. The ship is in pretty good shape, which is good because this is a particularly brutal storm.
Of course it is.
The winds announce it before even the thunder is announced. You see these cracks of lightning off in the distance, and as you're all on the deck, you watch as the wind rushes across these newly formed waves, creating this horrendous ripple. It's very, very choppy. The rain follows the wind, and like it does kind of sting against the skin as it comes in. Mm. This doesn't feel like normal rain.
Oh no.
Acid rain? Pollution? We're the biggest monster.
It is, unfortunately, acid rain.
Oh shit!
You watch as the raindrops like land on the deck and start to leave like small craters in the tarred wood. Very small, like little dimples almost. As this acidic rain falls. Skylar, you've seen acid rain before.
Have I?
Down in the swamps.
Ooh.
It happens every now and again after just other weird weather phenomena.
Whoa.
Just carry it sometimes. Often after like periods where there's been really dark clouds in the sky or the earth is shaken greatly.
Ooh. Can I do a survival? Can I do something to know how to get through this?
You can do a survival check, yeah.
Whilst rolls are happening, DM, quick question. Would you class falling rain as flowing water?
Depends on the spell.
Cool. Control water.
Control water. Yeah, you can control rain.
Incredible.
I got a 17, by the way.
17. Traditionally, Skylar, the best way to avoid acid rain is to not be under
that
it.
That is fair. Is there any kind of like salve or something that I can have made?
I'm not sure you would have it on you, given how infrequently... Because like, it's not a common thing.
That's fair.
Down in the swamp. But you would know how to make it, certainly after the fact.
Right, okay.
I think over the sound of the wind and the rain coming down, I sort of shout over to both Skylar and Tala, okay, I can do something about the rain, but I can only do one thing. So it'd either be rain and we have to deal with choppy weather, or choppy weather and we have to deal with rain. What do you want?
Wait, what? I didn't understand the question.
That's because communication is low.
Oh, shit. The shit communication on this boat.
Acid rain or choppy water.
Anything is better than acid, right?
No, choppy water might mean that we go over. We lose people overboard. How choppy is choppy?
I mean, I don't know. We currently have rain that hurts and is damaging the ship. Shall we deal with that first and do choppy water if it comes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought it was a guarantee.
Well, it's a storm, but Bodhi just kind of like puts the jumpsuit that he's just taken off kind of over his head and just kind of like opens the book on... like up underneath it.
Yeah.
He puts his hands to the deck as he does, he closes his eyes, and as he does so, you start to feel the water coming down lessen. And if you look up, I'm using the redirect flow aspect of shape water, and it's just kind of like making almost like an umbrella pattern above the boat.
Fantastic. The wind is howling. Skylar, are you in your crow's nest?
Yeah, that's where he's kind of starting out.
As you're there and the wind is now blowing around, the mast starts to creak, like really loudly. You know this is a feature of your crow's nest, unfortunately. It is built on the creakiest mast.
Oh.
And like you feel it start to wobble quite a bit. The boat obviously being shaken a fair amount. The ropes are still holding firm. The knotwork is still holding firm. And then for a moment, you feel exactly how it feels before lightning.
Mm.
And you watch as like six bolts of lightning in quick succession strike the ocean around you.
Wow.
Oh, I don't like that.
And the thunder booms overhead. Can everyone please make me a con save?
Oh, that was better than my first one. That's a 17.
That's a 26.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Nice. 19.
All of you, as the lightning flashes down, you realize how close you are to this particular strike where the thunder is going to be the loudest. You all cover your ears and mitigate the worst of it. Tala, you look around and you notice that Rihanna didn't get her hands to her ears in time and is just looking around bewildered. And you notice there is like a small trickle of blood coming out of one of her ears.
Tala just like goes to her, puts her hands on her shoulders. She probably says like, can you hear me at all?
She looks really worried. Like she's got a worried countenance anyway.
Yeah.
She looks like she's about to start panicking.
That's fine. Tala just takes her straight down and she says to Shimmer like, hey, lightning, big noise, just check her over and calm her down.
Shimmer nods. Shimmer's put on a white apron, kind of Florence Nightingale style.
Yeah, I think Tala just gives Rihanna like a nod and like a smile, as if to be like, it's fine, as not to be concerned that she's had to leave, like basically that everything's good, just to try and make her not feel bad.
Tala, as you opened the hatch to go down the ladder to take Rihanna down there, like the wind kind of snatches it up and slams it against the wood, just to give you an idea of how damn blustery it is. As you take her down, another bolt of lightning arcs and it strikes the highest point of the boat. Unfortunately, that is Shimmer's mast.
No!
Which Shimmer is not going to be best pleased about. A few more other bolts of lightning strike areas around the boat.
But the pumpkin bowl!
Pumpkin bowl. Well, the fate of the pumpkin bowl is yet to be decided. Tala, you made a really good quality roll for the quality of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
After the lightning strikes the mast, it seems to still be in pretty good nick, whether it's just because it's like a magically formed boat or whatever. And Skylar, you've got really close optics on this lightning striking this mast.
Right, yeah.
You notice that the lightning was drawn to like a specific point on the mast. You sort of squint with your elf eyes and you see that Shimmer has built like a tiny lightning rod.
Oh, Shimmer.
There's like a tiny strip of metal that feeds itself down the mast
and goes straight into the ocean.
I think it's a good thing.
Oh, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Shimmer did a good thing.
Nice.
Either Shimmer has done a good thing or Shimmer thought that would be fun.
Yeah. You said Shimmer's been trying to cause chaos, so I was like, does Shimmer want lightning to hit our fucking boat? Just so they have people to heal, because I don't want that.
The rain seems to abate after that lightning strike, and you notice the clouds above you seem to loosen up a little bit. There are some peaks of blue sky coming through the clouds. You believe yourselves to be in the eye of the storm.
Oh, shit.
You look over to Pad, who just looks really disheveled, stood at the wheel, kind of a little bit traumatized, his tufts of mane just like blown everywhere. He's kind of got like a twitch in one of his eyes.
Which is a real shame because the monocle is basically a yo-yo right now.
Yes, it is, yeah. Tyler, as you climb out of the bottom hatch, he kind of shouts over to you. He says, Captain, remember, it's not as bad as the last one.
Nope, not at all. You're doing a great job.
Yep. Boat's still in one piece, Captain.
Why is he saying it weird?
Can I insight? Is there something he's not telling me?
Well, I'll give it to you for free. Pad's there like, we've been through worse. We've been through worse. Someone confirm for me. We've been through worse. Please.
It's an insecurity weirdness, not a Pad weirdness.
Yeah, he's worrying.
All of Pad's weirdness is from insecurity. Mm. In this moment of blissful calm surrounded by this horrendousness, if anyone is looking over the side of the ship, they would see there's like a school of fish just in this sort of eye of the storm. And I think Skylar, because you're sort of so high up, every time you look down you're kind of looking over the side of the ship with your periphery. These fish kind of like ripple with energy, like the shoal of fish kind of like has this spark running through it almost.
Ooh.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool.
Are they some sort of eel?
You can roll a nature check if you want.
Yeah. 17.
Ooh. 17. You recognize these fishes due to the tidal mangrove swamps that you call home. These are sparkfish.
Ah. Are they murderous?
I mean, they're carnivorous, but most fish are.
Horrible creatures.
Yes, they are. You know that these fish typically sort of used as ways of working out if a storm is coming. They tend to follow pressure systems around.
Oh, interesting.
They do carry like a low static charge with them. And if you get enough of them, and this is specifically in the tidal marshlands where you would know them, if like some of them get stuck in a pool and then the tide goes out and it dries up, something very cool that they can do is they sort of enter like a state of semi-petrification.
Ooh.
So when it rains again, they come back to life.
Oh,
and they
cool.
create these little sparks. They keep this little sparking static in them. And then that sort of jump starts their heart.
How cool.
When they're in a shoal, and you've probably never seen them in a like a full shoal or a school like this, like you can watch that energy kind of ripple through them and bounce around. Occasionally one will like jump out of the water and there's a small spark of blue.
Oh, that's
cute.
So pretty.
You're
same
able to
as
enjoy
a harbinger of doom.
Yeah. You're able to enjoy this brief moment of beautiful nature before the ship is yet again plunged into the depths of this storm. The sea really getting quite horrendous now. Huge waves starting to rise up in response to the pressure and the winds. Can I have strength saving throws from everybody, please?
Okay.
Skylar, you can do a dex save if you prefer.
Yeah. 24. Take that, storm.
It is only a 17 for Tala.
I got a 12, so 10.
Got a 12, so 10. Oh, Bodhi.
Oh, are you negative?
Yeah.
Skylar, from atop your special Skylar Crow's Nest, the rocking and bucking just makes this whole thing a bit more fun for you. You're not in any danger of being thrown overboard or heavens forbid, being killed at sea. Tala, you're finding it very hard to hide how excited you are. It's just fantastic to be in the storm, and especially with Bodhi keeping the rain, like the acid rain off, you're able to fully enjoy the raw power that is representative of the deity that you worship. Bodhi.
Yeah.
You're looking around, you see Skylar looking overboard, and you sort of go and look at these fish, and then suddenly this storm takes the boat again, and you try and hold on to the railings, but your hands, while wiry, just don't get enough of a grip. You fall overboard. Roll a con check to maintain concentration on your spell, DC 10.
Oh dear.
Tala's going straight in that water, don't you worry, bud.
But that is That's an 8.
As Bodhi falls overboard, he loses concentration on his spell, and this acid rain starts coming down. Again, you hear the deck starting to sizzle ever so slightly with this acidic rain. And you notice now some of the rain is landing hard.
Ooh.
As the rain begins to transition from liquid to solid form.
Oh, God.
Oh,
making hailstones.
Oh, no. What? Acidic hailstones?
Yep.
Hate that.
As Bodhi hits the briny, stormy... It's not really blue, it's more grey at this point.
Ach, nein. Das ist nicht so good.
I think the second she sees Bodhi, she just, like, yells, like... Pad, you're in charge till I get back. And she just runs and dives straight
why
off the
I? Deck. What the fuck?
Oh my God, the shame.
The only reason she's not said that Skylar is not in charge is because she thinks Pad knows more about the boat of it all.
Oh, the boat
it's not,
of it all.
It's not like a capability thing. It's that Pad has captained a ship.
Sure.
If it helps, it would have been the same if Bodhi was on deck and Skylar had fallen
devastated.
Off.
Devastated.
Sure. Devastated. We're still going to have words, but...
Can't believe you've done this.
But yeah, I'm going to dive in and I'm going to catch Bodhi.
So Bodhi will hit the water first and begin to... He will definitely go below the water, unfortunately.
I will say this. I can breathe underwater now because of my affliction.
You can breathe underwater because of your horrible curse, yes.
Yeah.
But you're not immune to being tossed around like a person in a storm at sea.
Well, you say that.
I baited that, didn't I?
I love being a smug asshole wizard who's got... an incredibly powerful spellbook. Because as soon as I hit the water, I feel myself sort of like turn round and tumble, and immediately I lose sense of direction. In my mind, I go, shit, and cast Water Walk on myself, bringing me immediately up to the surface again.
Jolly good. You guys both hear Bodhi say, shit.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And Tala, as you charge to the side of the boat, and like, I imagine you just spring up onto the banister, the handrail, and like start to propel yourself out to go and get Bodhi.
I mean, yeah, she's, I mean, I don't know that it was, she was going full dive, so I don't know that
perfect.
Any time for her to not dive.
So you squat down, press your feet into the boat, and just like fully dive yourself over the side, making this perfect formation as you do so. And as you do, you just like turn your head to the side and you watch as Bodhi just like rises out of the water like someone waiting in an elevator.
We have that Spider-Man moment of just like pointing at each other.
Yeah.
What? You? Me? What?
She does that perfect like diver tumble. You know when you like you're diving down and you immediately curve back on yourself so that you basically come up where you were like diving into.
Mm.
Like I know obviously it's gonna be a deep, so it will like be longer. But
yeah.
Her aim is just to be like, well, he's fucking there now. She's also just very briefly like, oh yeah, he isn't Hendrix, and he has all of these other like utilitarian spells that help him in these scenarios.
Oh, he's useful in a crisis.
I mean,
he's not got all this like, you know, water based
baggage
trauma
that weighs him down.
No, he's got different trauma.
To be fair to Hendrix, you know, Bodhi has lived his entire life on the on the sea. Wait, no. To be fair, to be fair though, Bodhi is a magic user. Oh wait. This is all said with ultimate love.
Look, Hendrix is weighed down by baggage.
Also his coat.
That's true.
And coat.
And crabs. Those villainous crabs.
Villainous crabs. I'd have gotten away with it too.
Not for my crabs.
It wasn't for my crabs, yeah. Horrendous.
Hate everything about that. Carrying on.
Skylar, can you please roll me a perception check? I'm going to say at disadvantage just because the sea is so choppy and there's rain and shit. Well, there's hail, actually. Specifically, there's hail.
Okay, so that's 20.
Skylar, you check over the side and you see Bodhi come up. And you watch as Tala goes beneath the surface. Well, for a second, you're like, these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
What's happening?
It's a storm. Don't they know what a storm is?
Don't they know just how perilous this is? I mean, jeez.
Bodhi, you sort of feel the boat starting to move away from you.
Oh, shit.
Like,
shit.
As you're there, just as it's being moved by the motion of the waves. And Tala, you feel as the boat sort of moves away from you guys as well. Tala, you then come above the surface.
Tala just like yells about it. She's like, well, run to the boat. And she just starts swimming.
Yeah, okay.
She can swim super quick. And she's like, why the fuck are you just stood on the surface of the water?
That's the thing. I think like Bodhi's just sort of like looking around going, oh my God, she's jumped off. And then she sort of like bobs up and it's like, oh yeah, she can... Yeah, she can just do that and just starts running towards the boat. How fast is the boat going?
Because of the way that the waves work, like it moves quite quickly, but it doesn't move very quickly in any single direction.
Cool.
So it's just kind of being jostled around quite a lot. There isn't a ladder hanging down the side. You're going to have to climb up using like, there's like wooden ladders bolted in for grabbing onto and climbing up in emergencies, but there isn't like a rope ladder being thrown down or anything.
When Tala catches up to Bodhi, he can just like backpack onto Tala.
I was, to be fair, I was about to say, as soon as Tala sort of goes, well, hurry up then. How far away is the top of the boat?
The deck is, I think it's like 30 feet up.
Cool.
But I mean, the way it's moving, like it can be like 10 feet above the surface of the water, if not almost touching the surface of the water sometimes.
Sick. So as soon as Tala sort of bobs her head up, I cast Vortex Warp on her to have her go from where she is to on the deck of the boat, and then I misty step up onto the boat as well.
Skylar, you watch as these two watery chuckle fucks do their business down in the water. Bodhi brings the water almost up and coalesces around Tala, and she just appears on the deck of the boat, this water washing off her as the hailstones cascade down, and then Bodhi sort of looks up. I imagine it's like a click point with misty step.
It's click point shoe click. Click the heels and you're there.
Wow.
Fantastic. You watch as Bodhi does that, sort of his form appears misty as a huge set of jaws come out of the ocean and bite around just the mist left as he reappears on the deck of the boat. Skylar, it got a 21 on its stealth check.
Oh my goodness.
As the sea serpent rises out of the water.
Hate that.
And I think that's where we're going to end this episode.
Oh my God.
Damn.
What's happened to Emmett's soul? Is the crew of the Sakaelia cursed? And how are our heroes going to fare against an enormous sea serpent? Well, let's find out next time on Dice and a Slice. Is there a printer going off somewhere?
No, I'm really, really sorry. It's the gerbils.
I thought it was in the rain track. I thought it was like spats of rain.
Well, hey, thankfully, because it's going to be in the recording if you can hear it, thankfully it'll sound like rain.
Oh, what are they called?
Tell Jazz their names, Tom. Tell Jazz their names.
It's because I can't have a dog. They're called Maurice and Rat Jesus.
Oh, why?
Yeah.